Blog Talk Radio.
You're smart, ambitious, and qualified, but that's no longer enough to take you to the top. Fresh from the 35th Annual Conference of the National Black MBA Association, former MBA Board Chair Bill Wells discusses the highlights of the yearly event of nearly 10,000 attendees. With hundreds of top corporations sponsoring the event held recently in Houston, Texas, Bill will give us the inside track and will share key findings that are changing the career dynamics across the United States. As part of my own Kitchen Cabinet leadership team, Bill delivers a healthy dose of reality for listeners who are just starting their careers to emerging leaders to seasoned veterans. He'll regularly join Focus on Empowerment with new data, surveys, and tangible insights pertaining to the world of work for people of color. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. Thank you so much for listening to today's show. We have lots in store for you, and I now have assembled a fantastic group of experienced business professionals. I'm now calling this my Kitchen Cabinet Leadership Team. Bill Wells is joining us today. Mary Frances Winters will join us in the next couple of weeks. Next week, you'll hear from financial expert and wealth creation professional Lurie Davis. And then our job coach will be Laverne Freeman, who was on the show a couple of weeks ago. Speaking of Laverne, next week is the Older Workers Week, and her organization that she works for, Operation ABLE, is hosting an open house so that you can check out their facilities and see how they can be of help to you if you are above 50 years old and you are looking for employment. That open house will be next Wednesday, September 25th, from 3 to 5 p.m. at their Portland Street location in Boston. You can go to their website and find out all the details at operationable.net, www.operationable.net, and you can speak with job coach Laverne Freeman, who is part of our Kitchen Cabinet Leadership Team, at 617-542-4180. Well, we're going to just jump right in this show. I am just dying to find out what happened in Houston. This is like the third or fourth conference I've ever missed with the Black MBA Association, going back to 1986. I graduated from business school in 1985, started going to conferences in 86, and continued to go until 2009, had a little break there, went back in 2010, and have missed the last couple, but I know they were fantastic. So without further ado, we're going to bring on our special guest, part of the Kitchen Cabinet Leadership Team, former chair of the board of the National Black MBA Association, and a diversity professional, Bill Wells. Welcome back to the show.
Well, good morning, Carol, and thank you. I guess it's not morning there. It's afternoon on the East Coast. It just turned noon here in the Midwest.
Great. Well, we're glad to have you back on. Since the show we did the last part of August, I've gotten lots of feedback, very strong feedback, because we were, and I would say that this show is really going to talk about the real deal. We want to talk about the real deal on the job, in life, how people can really interact with each other, knowing that diversity and multiculturalism are just a mainstay. They're just really important. So we got lots of real positive feedback, so that really is part of the impetus of really putting together this expanded team. So we're glad to have you back, Bill. So tell us, Great. What was the experience like last week in Houston? You're probably your 30th conference, or how many at this point for you?
Just about. I started my first conference, I think, was in the 92 time frame. So I haven't hit the 30 mark. But this was our 35th annual conference and the annual conference and career expo. And so we hit a milestone, you know, at 35 years. The organization, though, however, as you know, is 42 years old since its original founding back in 1971. In a nutshell, this conference was fantastic. That's all I can say. You know, it's kind of like the lotto. You got to be in it to win it. If you weren't there, All I can say to you is we can't help you with that one, but plan to join us in Atlanta next year, which I'm sure promises to be an even bigger and better conference. So that was Houston. So the theme for this year's conference was appropriately courageous leadership, owning your own success. And so that dovetails right into what we're going to be talking about today. And I'm really pleased, Carol, to hear so many of the positive comments you made from our last conversation, because there's still work to be done in moving that conversation to action.
Very much so.
You wanted to hear some of the highlights?
I do.
Some of the highlights from this year's conference. Beyond the things that we normally see, just a high traffic volume, Houston is just a great city. It's really promotes entrepreneurialism, and it really captures the spirit of what the National Black MBA Association is doing. So a couple of highlights. The Leadership Institute kicked off on Wednesday morning with just a phenomenal speaker, Judy Smith, great mm-hmm. presentation.
Oh, we know who she is. If you're not familiar with who Judy Smith is, she is the impetus for the very popular show Scandal. So she is the real-life version of Scandal, right? So she is quite a woman. I can imagine that was a great speech.
She kicked it off, just nailed it. Mm-hmm. The Entrepreneurial Institute also similarly kicked off with great speakers. I mean, we just had some phenomenal folks that were with us. We even had, switching around here from the leadership and the entrepreneurial institutes, and those, by the way, for the folks listening, those are designed as professional development series workshops. This is, you know, a lot of people think that the annual conference is really all about the career fair. That's true, mm-hmm. but what I say is we are a five-day business conference hosting a two-day career fair inside of that five-day conference. So, don't get confused. This is strictly a business conference. A lot of activities going on, so professional development is big for us. The keynote luncheons had just tremendous speakers. On Thursday we had a number of people that covered different sectors, including the gentleman who served as the trial lawyer for the Trayvon Martin case. So
Benjamin Crump, yes. Yeah.
Yes, yes. So it was intriguing listening to him weave into the conversation. He served on a panel, but weaving into the conversation aspects about the risk of African-American youth and the vulnerability. And if you parallel that with some of the same things I hear about people trying to enter the workforce, granted one was the extreme, you know, a loss of life, but no less important is the inability or to represent yourself properly or the loss of employment in the employment sector.
Right.
So it was a tremendous conversation around that. The other workshop that we had, the keynote luncheon, we had Bob Johnson, our,
former BET owner.
Black Entertainment Television.
Right.
Gave a very, very insightful conversation. I would just tell you that my respect for Mr. Johnson went up at least 200-fold. I'd heard him before. I'd been with him, but never really paid much attention. His story is a quiet story. He's not braggadocious. He's not boasting. But he also talked about moving from the South with his family and a mother that instilled with him the notion that education was key and that he could. And we see what happened. He did not promote himself as being a scholar, but just a hard worker.
Right. What 9,000 people there, clearly lots of younger people looking for work. Maybe they're finishing up their MBA degree. They come to the conference. Some of them get positions. Some move up based on the connections that they make. What do you think is a salient point, and why are these kind of face-to-face conferences so important now for those who are either mid-year or middle level in terms of their career path, or even senior level? We understand how important they are for junior professionals, again, who are coming out of school looking for that first position. But what about the mid-career executive or the mid-career professional or someone who, you know, they've been out there a long time and now the shine is gone and they just really understand, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. Why is this conference so important for that person?
Well, from a very, very key aspect, it's about networking. And I'm not talking about social networking. I'm not talking about using Twitter or all the social media, but actually face-to-face. One of the things, and I ran into numerous people, I mean literally numerous people, who were well beyond the entry-level consideration. And stop, when you think about it, the National Black MBA Association, really the target audience is not so much those just freshly minted MBAs coming out of grad school, but oftentimes MBAs are typically in their early 30s, they've got good education background, and typically anywhere from 5 to 8 years of work experience. So what we have is a tier level of candidates that are actually there. They'll go around to the career fair and visit the different companies in their booths, but also there are an increased number of search consultants who now come to the conference, and they are literally trolling around the halls of the convention. They're not only at the career fair, and they're all, you can see them stopping people, shaking hands, having conversations, and people going not into an interview booth, but literally going over to a nearby Starbucks or what have you, and sitting down. So there is an increased frequency of people that are, I would say, junior to mid-level that are now seeking employment, and it's working. It's really working. So the organization positions talent. Our focus is on providing access of talent to opportunities. And so our corporate partners, which are 350 to 400 that were there in Houston, they come armed with all kinds of employment opportunities. We've got then thousands of candidates that are seeking opportunities, and it's kind of a matching game. So it's a frenzy, if you will, and those who are best prepared emerge winners. I mean, one of the highlights of this year's conference, sorry, Carol, one of the highlights of this conference is the increased number of companies that are making on-the-spot offers that didn't happen.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Your enthusiasm is definitely there. We hear it. We're going to take just a quick break, come back, talk a little bit more about the conference, but more from the point of view of this whole new normal, what the new normal happens to be, and the little teaser that we talked about, secrets of the game, and we're really talking about corporate games. We're talking to the former chair of the National Black MBA Association, but still very active member, very active board member, Bill Wells. We'll be back in just a few minutes when we come back from this message. Stay tuned.
Network, meet movers and shakers, and take your plan of action to work the next day. That's what will happen when you attend the November 7th Multicultural Conference at UMass Boston. Co-hosted by Carol Copeland-Thomas, the Multicultural Symposium Series, and the University of Massachusetts Boston campus, this event is for anyone serious about global diversity, multiculturalism, inclusion, and leadership issues. If your job, community project, or anything has to do with making a difference by expanding your cultural network, register and attend the November 7th Multicultural Conference. A stellar set of speakers include television news anchor LaToya Edwards and Vice President of Global Inclusion Paul Francisco of State Street Corporation. Call us at 508-947-5755 or visit our website for registration information at www.mssconnect.com. We'll see you at the conference.
Well, we hope that you will be there. We're planning, it's going to be such an exciting conference. We're lining the speakers up. We'll make the announcement about the speakers at the beginning of October, but we want you to come to our 7th conference at UMass Boston, 7th Multicultural Conference, which happens to be on November 7th. So be there, and you can find out more information at the website mssconnect.com. Well, back to our special guest, former chair of the National Black MBA Association, who's given us a wonderful overview of that conference. You can go to their website, that's nbmbaa.org, and you can actually see all the workshops, the sessions that were held, the speakers, and then get a flavor of not only the organization itself, but how it can really benefit you. Bill, you've been out here a long time. You've been on the outside of organizations, on the inside. You've served in vice president spots. You have a wealth of experience. What are you finding? And again, I'm thinking about giving people, and this is why I pulled together this kitchen cabinet, so that we can provide knowledge and real tangible strategies so that particularly people of color and professionals of color can navigate the workplace smartly. What are you finding in terms of this whole game changer and just the way the workplace is functioning now? Bill?
Okay, well, and this is an ongoing process. It's moving quickly, and I suggest to people who are candidates today, and I guess we all are candidates, even though you may be in a career that you feel you're really good in, changes in the corporate landscape happen so quickly, you've got to be prepared. So here are a couple of key things, and we obviously, this conversation could go on and on. There's something that I'm finding, and I almost bristle, but it's there. Companies today are not just hiring for competence. They have interviewed so many people that have technical skills and degrees and MBAs and masters and doctorate and what have you. There's more of a trend now. People are hiring more for cultural fit than just work performance. They're looking for people. They're hiring. They're hiring with attitude as an attribute. So they're looking for people who have a positive attitude, who are passionate about what they do, not just how they do the work. Let's face it, I mean, it's a highly, highly competitive landscape on the employment sector. We know that. Gazillion highly qualified candidates are out there all seeking the same position. So people have to think about what will distinguish me. People are focusing more on their brand, and I don't mean just, you know, polishing up your aesthetic and looking sharp and all that. That's important. But more importantly is tapping into that vein of the employer that really helps them understand you've got a positive attitude, you're really working hard on your leadership skills and your soft skills, the communication skills. I've done a number of workshops recently, and every time highly qualified candidates, particularly people of color and women, seem to get gigged more on their so-called soft skills, their ability to fit within the team, the ability to converse with the team and have their opinions and their viewpoints recognized. I know some of you will say that, well, you know, what's so different about that than before? Well, in the environment today where people are hiring on more as free agents, because we see a lot of people who are individual contributors, a lot of people are contractors. So the employment...
More than ever.
Oh,
you're right.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And, I mean, people are doing this at a very professional level. I was with a gentleman the other day. He's a roving CFO, and he's proud of it. He goes from company to company on contract.
Right.
And so...
And I think the other thing also, Bill, is to recognize that we talk about cultural fit. The cultural fit for Google is going to be completely different than the cultural fit for one of the financial service organizations in New York City. It's just going to be a different animal altogether. So you have to figure out what your skill sets are, figure out how you complement an organization, and know that for a great many people, they may have the skill sets, but they're just not going to fit that Wall Street mold, should I say. Is that not
true? Exactly. That's absolutely true. Now, and I know people that, and I'll be a little careful, not because I don't want to single out any one company, but one of the biggest retail financial establishments in New York City, they were in the news just very recently, so you can figure it out. there are a lot of people now that used to think, you know, to work in financial services, you've got to have the dark suit, white shirt, be really tightly buttoned up.
Well, if
you were to examine what's going on, that company has more people now working 2 or 3 days a week from their homes and not commuting into New York City. So what does that tell you?
Telecommuting.
The
workplace is different, really. And the other piece, too, is, and I'll use this gentleman as an example because he's such a great supporter. He's actually going to bring greetings, as he always does so very robustly, at our November 7th conference. And that's Dr. Keith Motley. He is the chancellor of UMass Boston. I used him as an example because I just attended a fundraiser on Monday where, under his leadership, They raised $1.4 million. I mean, it was astounding. 850 people on Monday night. And it was amazing. But Keith is an African-American who is successfully has maintained and held on to his culture, but still is so affable and likable and has built really strong relationships within the academic community of which he served. And I say that because he's had bumps and he's had mistakes that have been made and things haven't always gone his way. But he, I take it that he takes the high ground and always looks forward to the future. So he clearly has had a game plan, and that game plan has worked very successfully for him. I believe he probably is the first African-American chancellor of that campus and, you know, raising significant amount of dollars. But and if you look at Keith, great big African-American man, booming voice, always very jovial. So he has not had to change his personality, but he has smartly used his skills to build the kind of relationships that have gotten him where he wants to go. So I'm talking about the secrets of the game, and it is a game. I look at anybody who works for anyone else, or if you work for yourself, there's a game, there's a methodology that you have to understand, a temperament, and in your case, you're talking about this cultural fit. You have to understand yourself, and I think more and more people don't spend enough time really understanding who they are, and perhaps they're working year in and year out for an organization for which they probably need to leave because they've reached their prime and they will do better elsewhere. But that's another conversation altogether.
Right, right.
I can see it in terms of, again, this piece about cultural fit and how it resonates with mid-career people of color, Bill Wells.
Okay. Well, you know, the one thing is, and I always encourage people, do not give up your cultural identity.
Right.
But on the other hand, I would suggest to you, because that's the very essence of creativity, innovation, the whole schmaltz around why diversity and inclusion are really important. But I'm not suggesting that people personify their cultural identity in such a way that it's off-putting to the workplace. People are looking for what you bring, your talents, your skills, your abilities, your thinking. They're not looking to you for necessarily your cultural identity in terms of dress or your habits. Or your just the key differences. You know, women oftentimes get tagged, and I've been reading a lot of articles and talking to a lot of people in focus groups. Women oftentimes get tagged for being passive, and then when they speak up in a way, say, their male counterpart is, they get tagged as being aggressive.
Yes,
not so
I've seen it. I've seen it firsthand, absolutely.
Oh.
And that's a big discussion point. I'm in board meetings where I see the men always speaking up, and the women are very quietly sitting back saying nothing. And then, you know, if there is a very tense issue that's being discussed, certainly they can be vulnerable and mischaracterized if they're not careful. So yeah, that whole piece is very important, and we'll do a whole show on that going forward.
Yeah. So essentially, what that also suggests though is know who your allies are. So when you're in meetings, and I had one gentleman who kind of coached me even with my participation on the board of directors for National Black. He said, "Bill, always know where your votes are." You know, essentially, before you get ready to launch a motion to move in a certain direction, know who's with you. Don't just speak out there on your own because you'll get your feelings hurt. And
that's
the same
thing
happens in the workforce. Sometimes we call those people mentors. Sometimes we call them sponsors. I suggest there's another category called allies. Know who's on your side. If you're going into a meeting and you know it's going to be a team meeting, you should start to work some of those issues. If you've got something to say, tap into several folks that you know are going to be in that meeting. Make sure they understand what your point is and who's on your side. Because oftentimes they can reframe the question or the statement for you, and it'll come out, and people say, "Oh, absolutely, let's move with that." Such as one little trick.
Yeah, another thing, too, going along with that in terms of the secret weapons is when you're working in a large organization or if it's a mid-sized organization, it's a little trickier with a small one. You need to be aware of where your alliances are. Because if you align yourself with a mover and shaker, a boss, supervisor, an influencer, who then falls out of favor, you can very well go out of favor as well. So you have to be smart enough now to figure out who are the game changers, who are the ones who are key influencers. So in addition to the people I'm currently connected to, maybe I need to go over and build relationships in this arena as well. And that, I see that a lot when there's shakeups and downsizing and layoffs. Your job can be saved if you are smart enough to strategically align yourself with the right people and not overly so align yourself with people who are going to be dismissed or moved on.
Absolutely. And again, that's the networking piece. The one
right.
thing that's happening more so than ever, but I'm sure it was always there, but it just seems to be so profound, many of the jobs, many of the key openings never get posted. And when they
right.
do get posted, they already have a candidate in mind. So this
right.
whole notion around networking, and I'm talking one-on-one, face-to-face,
mm-hmm.
mano-a-mano,
mm-hmm.
that is becoming so important. And unfortunately, a lot of young people entering the workforce, they'll tell you, well, I've got 500 friends and I've got or 2,000 friends. That's not going to help you. It's not going to help at all. So, again, this whole notion around building alliances, you know, Keith Weiss is on our board, and we all know Keith, and he wrote the book,
right.
Good Is Not Enough. In Keith's book, he's got formulas that talk about if, you know, it's not who you know, but who knows you.
Uh-huh. That is so important.
Because when the conversation starts
mm-hmm.
at that roundtable discussion around the openings in the division and
mm-hmm.
everybody's vying to get their candidate in there, if nobody knows who you are, your name, I don't care how good technically you are, your name
right.
just won't surface.
That's a real stumbling point, particularly for people when they find themselves out of work and their nose has been so kept to the grind, they haven't built the relationships in an organization, and then maybe their whole division closes or moves or whatever, and they find themselves looking for work. The relationship building, again, like I say, you need to build relations outside of your normal comfort zone. So, it is in addition to the 5,000 Facebook friends or the Twitter connections that you have or whatever, it's making sure that you do make those face-to-face connections in small meetings, outside with nonprofit organizations, so that people will remember you and will think of you and, most importantly, will understand what your brand is.
Absolutely.
Closing thoughts, Bill. Again, we're going to have you back on October 31st. We've already scheduled you. We'll have so much more to talk about, an awful lot more.
Okay.
But closing thoughts, maybe you can give our listeners a homework assignment between now and October 31st in terms of networking or understanding what their cultural fit happens to be or how they can really move ahead within their organization. Bill?
Okay. Well, closing thoughts, I guess, you know, one of the things people need to understand really what's happening in this changing workforce. We call it the new normal. Because things have changed. What used to be one employer for a lifetime, that's gone. It's
right.
really gone. Even discussing with our corporate partners at the conference, they oftentimes would say, if I can just get that person for 3 to 5 years, I know I might lose them, but, you know, I'll work with what I can get. But anyway, the
right.
point is just you've got to make sure you've got your game ready. And I'm talking about the complete package. I can't
mm-hmm.
stress enough the positive attitude that you need to take into an interview or even a discussion, because you never know.
Mm-hmm.
Even in a little coffee meeting, you're still being judged.
Right, right.
Consider yourself
right.
always to be a candidate, and if you're really, really hungry, let that hunger come out. Let that passion really come out, because passion is infectious, and people like winners.
Mm-hmm.
They like people with a positive attitude.
Great. Bill Wells, great, well said. We're looking forward to having you back on October 31st. Thank you for giving us those great highlights about the National Black MBA Association Conference and the way that you can use these secret weapons to participate fully in the new normal in the workplace. Thank you very much. We'll be back next week and have a great show for you. Thank you so much for listening to today's show. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. Have a great week or weekend wherever you happen to be.